All right, take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 10, if you will. I started this message, Luke chapter 10, verse 1, 2 weeks ago, and it was during vacation Bible school. We kind of had a low number in here because most of you folks were out helping and working. And by the way, let me say again how much I appreciate the faithfulness of our folks for doing something like that, that vacation Bible school. We had over 200 total in enrollment. I think our high day was 156. That's the last I heard. Maybe Nathan has better numbers, but it was a good week. We had 17 saved, four adults, and plus the 17 kids, and when it comes to kids, they pray to receive Christ, and Lord, they accept what they could, and we'll go back and follow up and make sure they got it all squared away. We don't do a 1, 2, 3, pray after me. But on the other hand, we usually give them the 4 points and make sure that they know everything. So, you know, just so you know, we'll follow up on those the best we can. But it was a great week, and I appreciate your faithfulness. All right, Luke chapter 10, verse number 1, it says there in the first verse, after these things. Those three words says, after these things. And so let me just remind you real quick, what things were they talking about? Well, in chapter 9, the first six verses, Jesus empowers the 12 disciples and sends them out to preach the kingdom of God and to cure diseases. Now, that's a side thing. We'll talk about that a little bit, but to go out and preach the kingdom of God. What does it mean, the kingdom of God? Well, as I said on Sunday mornings, the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, the authority, the rule of God. So you're saying they're coming, which is, by the way, the same thing that John the Baptist preached. But he preached the gospel of repentance, if you will. He preached the baptism of repentance, but he preached the coming of the kingdom of God. What's that mean? The coming of the authority. It's almost like this. You've been home for 2 days, mom and dad's been away, and you're supposed to have something done before they get back. And you know they're going to be back in about a couple hours. Listen, the kingdom of mom and dad are nigh. You see what I'm saying? The kingdom of mom and dad is near. And so the kingdom of God, he said, is at hand. It's right here. Listen, we're going to have to give an account. I know I've said this so many times, but there's an awful lot to be said about the fact that we need to give in to the authority of God, to obey him and trust him to bring about what needs to be bring about. We think that we're not going to get what we need. We're not going to be happy if we trust him. We do what he says, we're going to lose. You don't lose. It may look like it for a little while, but you're not going to lose when you give it all over to him. So the first thing was he showed Jesus was talking to the 12 and said, preach the kingdom of God. Then the next few verses, the area had noticed that Jesus, in verses 7 and 9, had noticed Jesus, and Herod was even concerned. So Jesus was becoming known. So when somebody were to go into town and talk about Jesus, there's a good chance, I heard about that guy. And by the way, we should make a difference on the neighborhood. It's getting so that if I go someplace and say, hi, I'm Pastor Sterling Walsh of Lighthouse Baptist Church, 9 times out of 10, they'll say, oh, I've heard of that place. And usually it's usually a nice way, but it wasn't, oh, I heard about that place. No, I've heard of them, and so it's not unusual. We ought to make an impact, an imprint, a footprint, if you will, in our area. And so Jesus was being known. Herod the king had heard of him. Third, in verses 10 through 17, Jesus demonstrates his ability to provide whatever is needed as he fed the 5,000. Now that's something they need to know, because the fact is he's going to send them out and says, don't take anything with you. Remember that? Don't take anything with you. I'll give you everything you need. Are you crazy? Listen, God will take care of you. Did you see what God did when we fed the 5,000 and each of you got a basket to take home with you? So he's showing these things are being known. He's prepping us. It's almost like when Paul was saved on the road to Damascus, God knocks him off his high horse and puts him on the ground flat on his back, and finally he can see all the light. And Jesus says, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. What's he saying? I've been poking at you and pricking your heart, and I've been trying to get a hold of you, get your attention, and you've just kind of been trying your best to try to ignore it. But the fact is, you can't ignore God when he's actually working. You just got to defy him rather than ignore him, because it's hard for you to ignore him. But anyway, He's going to show himself. And so he's done that, and he shows about how he can provide whatever they need. Then we have verses 18 through 21. Jesus helps to solidify who he really is in the minds of his disciples. We've been all through that, but who do you think I am? Well, you're Jesus. You're the Christ. This is who you are. And so, listen, he's God, but we have the authority of God. We have the realm of God coming, and we're supposed to go work, and he's, I'll provide. You see what I'm saying? After these things, the fifth thing was, verses 21 through 26, Jesus describes what a true follower of Christ is. He says, you're going to follow me. Don't go turning back on me. Don't be looking about for a house to stay in. You follow me. I'll take care of you. But you kind of have to say, I'm going to follow you with all my heart. Because if you're going to turn back, someone who's going to turn back and go back and look back really isn't fit to be a follower. You just go, because you say, well, you know why? Because somebody who will turn back has basically said this, I'll follow you as long as I like it. I'll follow you as long as it's convenient. I'll follow you as long as it looks like it's to my benefit. That it looks like I'm getting more out of it than I'm losing. But see, when we start looking back, you know what we're doing? We're comparing what we had with what he has. So what we're doing is trying to decide, is it worth it? Is it worth it to be walking with God, or you say the world has something more for me than he has for me? That's like saying, I shouldn't admit that I watched this, but years and years ago, I watched Love Boat. And I remember they had a wedding, and Captain Steubing married him. And this is what it says. Do you take this one to be your lawful wedded wife and lawful wedded husband as long as you both shall love? You see, you don't want me doing, my wife doesn't want me doing that to you. You don't want your spouse doing, as long as I love you. Whoa. You see, the vow is, as long as you both shall live, I will love you. I've promised to love and to honor and to cherish to keep owning unto you, so long as we both shall love. You see, the world says, well, if I can get a better deal over here in the world, then I'll take that. See, again, he was teaching them. What does it mean to be a disciple? What it means. Then verses 27 through 36, he discloses who he is in the glory of the transfiguration. And God comes down and says, this is my beloved son, hear ye him. This is truth. Yes, we have Moses, that's the law. Yes, we have the prophets. And all that's right, that's true. We had Moses and Elijah up there in Transfiguration. But he says, but they disappeared. There was nobody left but Jesus. And said, hear ye him. He is the way, the truth, and the life. The law and the prophets basically teach us we can't get to heaven, get to God, except through Jesus. Hear ye him. He's the one. Then verses 37 through 43, we see the disciples realize they're powerless over spiritual wickedness. When they come down and he comes down from the transfiguration, some man has a son who's devil-possessed and they couldn't do it. And he says, why couldn't we do it? He says, this doesn't come except by prayer and fasting. He says, you got to rely on me. Fasting means to not rely on the things of the world, your own strength. It said, I am willing to sacrifice all earthly help, if you will, and rely only on God's help. I mean, that's really what it's all, when you nail it all down, that's really what it's God's not going to say, wow, he's pretty hungry, so I guess I'll bless him. That's not what fasting's about. It's about saying, I'm willing to sacrifice all of this world and search all of him. And God said, I can bless that because I'm going to do it. Then we have verses 44 through 46. Jesus again reminds them that he will be leaving, suggests that they better be prepared to continue the ministry. Then verses 47 through 56, he warns disciples to not allow pride and self-reliance hinder their work. You can go back and read those things. And then lastly, Jesus warns the disciples that to truly follow Jesus, it must be without reservation or return. And that's verses 57 through 62. Now, I say all that is because he was preparing these people for the call he's about to place on them. Yes, we need to measure and know and know what we're getting into. Faith is not blind faith. Faith is in someone specific. Faith is in the promises of God over that overpowers all the problems of the world. So in chapter 10, verse number 1, I know that's a lot, but I wanted you to see that. It says, after these things that we just went through, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. After those things, he says, okay, here we go. I can provide. It's not going to be always easy, but I can take care of you. Let's go. Verse 2. Therefore said he unto them, stop worrying. Almost like again, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added. He says, listen, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Go your ways before I send you forth as, behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. He says, it's going to get scary out there. But wait a minute, I'm with you. Then it says, you're going to wonder, how am I going to take care of these things? But don't forget the 5,000 I fed. It says, carry neither purse. Purse is a deposit of money. It's like, I know you don't do this, we shouldn't do it, but if you went to a, if they just had a Kentucky Derby in the Belmont and the Preakness and all that stuff, and they said they're running for a certain purse. That means there's a deposit of money that's held there for the winner. He says, now, don't take your savings with you. Don't do that. In fact, it says, nor scrip. You go back and look, that's actually the wallet. So don't even take a wallet along with you. Nor shoes. In other words, don't take an extra pair of shoes in case they wear out. Now, the Israelites were in the wilderness for 40 years, and their shoes didn't wear out. God says, I can take care of you. And salute no man, by the way. And that simply means don't get distracted. Don't stop and hee-haw for a half a dozen days, and when you should be out doing the job. It's nice to find and have some time with them, but it says, don't let someone wear you out. And into whatever house ye enter, first say, peace be to this house. If the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall turn to you again. And in the same house remain, eating and drinking such things as they give. For the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house. You don't need to go around looking for money and hand out. You know, it's amazing how some Christians are like that. He's like, there's some people who go into a church and the whole reason they join a church is because they want to see how many people they can get to pay their bills. You'd be surprised. I'm not being mean. I'm not trying to be nasty about it. I'm just saying they went to get their bills paid and think, well, they're nice people. They'll take care of me. And you know, to a certain extent, yeah, we should help. But the fact is, where does our help come from? The Lord. Now, sometimes he uses us. But it's only supposed to be temporary until they have a walk with God, that they get what they need directly from him. They have a heavenly Father. They don't need to get it from Big Brother. Anyway, verse 8, and into whatsoever city ye enter, they receive you, and eat such things as are set before you, and heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God is nigh unto you. But into whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you not, go your ways out into the streets of the same and say, even the very dust of your city, which cleaveth unto us, we do wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, be sure of this, that the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable in the day that for Sodom than for that city. We've got to pray real quick, and I'm way behind. Father, we thank you for your blessings and thank you for your word. Teach us your truths here. We ask your Holy Spirit to move. So we've got a few little tough things here we got to deal with this evening. So, Lord, I pray that you'll bless and use us. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. Now, from the last time, I filled in the answers because we're in the middle of things. Number one, we saw the calling. He appointed them, sent them out. We're supposed to be bringing others and exhibiting the things of God. The appointed things. He says, so he sent 70 people. He sent them out. That word sent them is the same word as apostle. You know, John the Apostle and Paul the Apostle, you know, and Peter the Apostle. This actually is a word apostle. It means sent one. And so he sent them out just like the apostles. He sent them out two and two. They're grouped in pairs. If one falls in the pit, the other one can pull the other one out. We need each other. Don't be a lone ranger Christian. Don't be alone. You say, well, I can worship God out there in the creek. Go to the creek on Saturday and go fishing. Don't do it on Sunday. Well, I can worship him out there just as much out there in his creation. Yeah, can you? What happens when a fish actually gets on your line? I'll tell you what happens. You no longer have your attention on him if you had it on him in the first place. But you've got your attention on that fish. When a man says to his wife, I worship at your feet. But hold on, I'm watching the game. The score's coming up. You say, I worship. You're saying, I want to give you my undivided attention, my undivided devotion. That's what we do when we come to church. You know, that's why I give the kids a hard time, because they're sitting there on their phone. They're in church. You're not in church. Your mind's someplace else. Church is about giving your undivided attention to him and his word. Go ahead. God, I have nothing against fishing and hunting and, you know, even a car race or something like that. But do it on Saturday. Don't do it on Sunday, because Sunday is the Lord's day, and that's the day that we're supposed to be worshiping at his feet. So we saw a calling, and he says we need to go out. And so he calls us. Number two, we saw the need. The need. It says here, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. So let it be, the need are laborers. That's what, I am so glad that the fact is it was good, because the vast majority of our people, if they weren't, you know, able, if some of them weren't able to even be helping, would like to have been, but they were out there working with Vacation Bible School. I mean, you say, well, was hardly anybody in here. That's a wonderful thing, because that meant our church had gotten together to make an impact on our community. They were laborers in the harvest, which is exactly what we need to be. Now, I'll be honest with you. I did Vacation Bible School the first few years I was here. I'm not a Vacation Bible School either, so I'm not beating up. If you weren't out there and that's not your thing, that's okay. All right, but we got a lot of folks who serve and bless their heart, even those who maybe didn't really want to, but they knew that there was a need there, and they pull out all the stops and do that. That's a good thing. So the need are laborers. Watch, the need is not going at a better time. The need is not a new gospel. The need is not a new plan. The need is laborers. That's the need. That's the need. Letter D, the laborers must work. If you're not working, you're not a laborer. Make sense? I went to work, but I sat there and twiddled my thumbs. Then you didn't go to work. You went to sit. Laborers work. Letter E, laborers must go. You can't bring in the harvest sitting by the refrigerator. You can't go to the harvest sitting in the easy chair. You've got to actually do something. Go to work. And so that is the need. The need is laborers. Number three, we saw the opposition. He said, go, verse 3 said, go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. You saw the opposition. Let it be. Laborers must be persistent. Don't worry about the wolves. God's bigger than the wolves. He's bigger than the lion who walks around seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist? Steadfast in the faith. Just keep doing what you were called to do. Don't stop. Listen. Don't stop serving and laboring to fight the adversary. What do? Put on the armor of God. Now, once in a while, someone may really make a big stink and call him out. You may use the word of God, the sword of the Spirit, and just kind of cut up his message before it ever gets there. So, listen, don't let your words are going to hurt me, because I can cut you up with them, because truth says this. We got to be as Nehemiah, and they're building a wall. They got a trowel in one hand, and they're building, and they got a sword in the other hand. You got a trowel, got a sword. Don't stop doing it. Listen, sometimes you may have to, you know, draw the line, make a statement. But our goal, we don't live your life fighting the devil. He was defeated on the cross. Can't do any more to you than God lets him do. So just then, you can defeat him. You resist him, he'll flee. You resist him steadfast in the faith. Don't let it bother you. Number four, we saw the supply. The supply. He says, don't carry a purse. Don't get a big deposit of money. Don't put a big wallet there. He says, when you go in the house, they'll feed you. Well, how are we going to eat? Somebody will be there. You believe it? They'll be there to find you. And I used the illustration last week that we came here at the church. There were 28 people here. It wasn't enough to pay us for our salary. And again, that, be honest with you, I'm not patting myself on the back on there. I pat God on the back for that. I really do, because I thought, well, he'll take care of our needs, and he did. Now, he used some of our folks here who gave us. And by the way, I'm not sure who it was. Maybe they did it to be funny or not. I mentioned last week, I said, don't leave. I said, folks would give us veggies, and they'd give us a ham, or they'd give us a turkey. And we had I had a wife and four kids. Pastor Nathan was 9 years old when we came here. And so we took care of all these. They took care of us real well. And I said, around here, in this time of the year, don't leave your car open, because they'll give you some squash. Guess what I found on my windshield when I got ready to go on Sunday night? Or was it Sunday morning? Sunday morning? Anyway, on Sunday, there was a squash. We got out there in the driveway, and my wife says, there's a squash on the windshield by the windshield wipers. I don't know if they were just being funny, whether they were just giving a squash. Anyway, but thank you. There we go. We had a squash. God supplies. He supplies. You take care of his business, he'll take care of your business. Number five is where we ended up last week. Now, we saw these different things here. Let me do it one more time. We saw the calling, we're called. We saw the need. We saw the opposition. We saw the supply. Now, number five, this is a little funny here. These are the side duties. The side, S-I-D-E, the side duties. Things that you've got to do. Things that you've got to do. Watch me. A fireman, I'm not going to go through this big illustration. It's a great illustration, but I'll probably ruin it for you for later. But at the firehouse, you've got one guy who keeps the trucks gassed up. You got one guy who makes sure that the oil is changed and the tires are where are inflated right. You got one who polishes all the chrome and so keeps everything clean. One to make sure that you got this going on, and one makes sure that all the uniform is right. Now, let's say that we have people who are doing that. What's their job? What? The firemen. Their job is to put out fires. You see, and that's the way we are in the church. Our job is to keep people out of the fire. Now, we may do this, we may do that, we may do this, and all those things are important. It comes together. And some may actually fight fires more than others fight fires. Some people may be doing more things to keep the truck ready. Some may be doing some other things. But the fact is, the job is, when it's all said and done, the focus, the goal, is to fight fires. And for us, it's to keep people out of the fire. That's our goal. Now, some things that we do, watch this. We should be filled with the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit should be part of it. We should be clothed in righteousness, clothed in humility. We should be clothed with him. When they see us, they ought to see Christ. Okay? So what's our job? To keep people out of the fire. Not to be a display in the museum. We have a job, watch me. If I don't keep myself clean, I don't keep myself straight, keep my life right, my testimony right, I may fail at the job. If we don't keep the truck running, when the siren goes off, if it won't, somebody didn't do their job. The job is not just so the engine runs. The job is so they get to the fire. And so we have to make sure that our lives are what it's supposed to be, because if we're not, it could stop us from doing the job we were called to do. You follow what I'm saying? When Jesus, toward the end of his life there, they said, do you believe who I am? And he said, believe me for who I am, for the testimony of the Lord himself. And what? But he said, if you don't believe me for my own word, believe me for my works' sake, my testimony, who I am. That's where we are in verse number 9. What was their job? Their job was to preach that the kingdom of God is nigh, at hand. That's their job. Well, then it says, and heal the sick. And he throws that on alongside. Why? for them to see the power of God, so that they know that the kingdom of God is at hand. Well, he said, the disciples did that go to the book of Acts, they were doing that. What, they weren't God? No, but God was putting on them the testimony that they are of God, just as Jesus was of God. Do all have the gift of healing? Do all have the gift of tongues? These things shall cease. These things are going to be less and less and less. Not that God can't heal, but the healings and all those kind of things was a testimony on the men who were going to write this book, the men who were established in the church. The book is written. We now have the Word of God. The Holy Spirit now, the Comforter, runs with us. When we speak, if we're a clean vessel and our testimony is clean, the Holy Spirit is going to speak through us. When we get out the Word of God, you're going to say, you know, I don't know why I believe this, but that's true. I mean, it all sounds like a fairy tale, but I know it's, I can just tell it's true. Something inside of my heart, that still small voice is saying, you know, that's truth. He might be a crazy man, and we may think all those people, Lighthouse Baptists, are kind of weird, but the fact is, I don't know why it is, but I'm believing it. That's the Holy Spirit, the power of God, the fire of God, if you will. Now, in verse 9, it says we're supposed to heal the sick. We need to show God and His power to those we come in contact with. That was the real reason. In fact, at the end of our little passage there, he says, even if they don't want to listen, they didn't want to hear it or anything. He says, go out of town, shake the dust off. But then he says, notwithstanding, be ye sure of this, that the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. Just so you know. Now we're heading out of town here. But just one more time. The authority of God's coming and you're going to answer to Him. You need to know truth. If you want us, they probably wish they could say, give us a call. We're going to move on, but just make sure you know. It didn't say, make sure, if you get sick, call us, we'll come by and heal you. That's not what he said. Be sure that you know that the kingdom of God is at hand. So, let me ask you this. When people are around you, do they experience the power of God on your life? Are others affected for Jesus by your presence? Letter C. Manifestations of God's power is there for preparing the people to receive the kingdom of God. Little Roman number one underneath it. God is the authority, and God can save. God is the authority, and God is saved. That's what the healing was all about. God has authority all over all things, natural and supernatural. All things. And God can save. He can heal. They needed to see healing physically, if you will, so they can understand that it's possible He can heal spiritually. There's power. He can heal me physically. Well, what about that broken heart that I have? What about that bitterness that I have? What about that pain? And the wife says, what about that pain in the neck that I live with? No, but what about those things? God can heal. He has authority. Letter D. We have a testimony to keep. The side job. Really, listen. When they went around and said, the kingdom of God is at hand, they probably didn't get a whole lot of attention. But when somebody got healed, I bet you they drew a crowd. I don't know where these people came from, but all I know is, my little boy had a withered hand, and now it's whole, just like the other one. All I know is my little girl was blind, and now she can see. Now, I can't keep her out of the closet. She's too busy trying to pick what she's going to wear. You know what I'm saying? Life changes when God shows up. Number six, I want you to see the position. The position. What's the position of the laborer? Number A, letter A, to be a herald. H-E-R-A-L-D. Just like Hark the Herald Angels Sing. To be a herald. Look what it says in verse 9. It says, Well, verse 8, and whatsoever city ye enter, they receive you, eat such things that are set before you, and heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. He says, heal the sick and say, the kingdom of God has come nigh to you. See, the purpose of the healing of the sick is to show them the kingdom of God, the authority of God, the realm of God, the rule of God is right there. It's coming. Watch for it. This Jesus is going to be here. He told him to go into cities where he was going to be going. So he says, you're going to know him when he shows up. And he said, go ahead and heal. Get them kind of pregame show, so to speak. Get them working. Understand. But he said, what's the purpose? The purpose was not necessarily to heal the sick, though we're going to do that. But he said, heal the sick and say, the kingdom of God is nigh unto you. Say, to lay forth, to relate, and that word say there, to relate in a systematic discourse. In other words, we should know what we're talking about. It means to convey in our daily routine of conversation, but to know what to say and how to say it. Be ready to give the reason for the hope that's in us. He says, you're going to go out there and you're going to heal the sick. But the point is for them to know that the kingdom of God is at hand. Do you know how to make that clear? I think it was more than just saying the kingdom of God is at hand. Because the folks are going to go, what? Now, I'm sure sometimes it didn't. Maybe it piqued their interest. But he says to say, it means to lay forth, to give out the truth. Letter B, to be an ambassador. That's what we're doing. We're being an ambassador. Number one, underneath that, we are representing the kingdom of God. We're representing the kingdom of God. We're not representing the kingdom of us. We're not drawing others to ourselves. Now look, if I walked into town, walked down the street here, and somebody was on a crutch, and I walked up to him and went, and all of a sudden was healed. What do you think they're going to do? Who do you think they're going to praise? That's wrong, and that's right, but that's wrong. All we're doing here is being used as a vessel so that they can see the power of God. That's what we're here for. That the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is at hand. We're representing Him, not us. Number 7, I want you to see the discernment. Now, this is an interesting last thing, and it's the last thing we're going to talk about, but this is tough. We should try to win everybody. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Every creature. I'm not so sure you're supposed to try to win your dog to the Lord, but practice on him or something. You know, preach it. Every creature should hear the gospel. I heard a preacher say everybody in the world should hear the gospel at least once. Now, I've also heard something that went on the other side that balanced it. No one has the right to hear it more than once. In grace, we do as many times as we can. In fact, we don't really deserve to hear it once. We have no excuse. Go back to Romans 1. We have defied and rebelled against the holy and righteous God whose creation declares His glory. There's no place in the world you can't see it. It goes beyond all languages. Go back to Psalm 19 and read it. There's no barrier. Just look at creation. It still boggles my mind that people who will write long dissertations on the computer and put it all together or organize those words and say, look what I have done. And if you said it looked like it was because you hit a button on the computer that just put random letters down, they'd be insulted. And yet they think the brain, that they used to do that, to make a piece of paper with some print on it. And they think that brain happened by accident. To me, that's a lot of arrogance. But on the other hand, we need to give the gospel. Somebody gave us the gospel. Somebody, and it's a good chance. How many people were led by a paid church staff member to the Lord? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. How many were led to the Lord by a layperson? They got the gospel, they learned it from a layperson. How many from a tract? One. There's at least as many, if not more, folks who were led to the Lord by a layperson than a paid preacher, a paid staff member. We have a job to do. Now, the discernment. Look at verse 10 real quick. But into whatever city ye enter, and they receive you not. You know, that's the biggest fear we have. We're going to get snubbed. We're going to door knocked in our face. We're going to, somebody's going to throw water on us from the window up above. I don't know. That's our biggest fear. Into whatsoever city ye enter, they receive you not. Go your ways out into the streets of the same city and say, even the very dust of your city, which cleaveth on us, we do wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, be sure of this, that the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable in the day for Sodom than for that city. Now this is hard. Now listen close to me. Letter B. We have a job to do, and we need to do it. Right? We have a job to do, and we need to do the job. Some folks do not have a heart for people and really very little compassion for those that are like sheep who have lost their shepherd. They can see people go by lost in the world and it doesn't bother them. They can see their lost condition. They can know their final destination. Hey, but knowing the terror of God, we should be persuading men. And yet there's folks who can walk right through life without being moved by the condition of others, not seeing that that's an eternal soul who's going to spend eternity someplace. Some folks have a heart of compassion and see the great need in the hearts of people, but they're not discerning as to how to handle all the needs. And they become overburdened in the labor and discouraged and may even drop out of the harvest. If you were out in the field, this is going to sound terrible, I understand, but if you were out in the field of wheat and you were trying to bring in the harvest, but you decided you were going to make sure you got every single grain that you could get, a lot of it would go wasted because you're too busy cleaning up that little spot that you've been working on. Now, this is going to sound hard. And that's not a great illustration, but I think you understand. We have discernment. We have a job. Letter C, the job is to do what? Give the gospel. We are to give the gospel. Preach the kingdom of God, the authority and the rule and the realm of God that we need to submit to. Why is that the issue? Why aren't you preaching grace? If we don't know we need a Savior, we're not going to get a Savior. If we don't know we need a Savior, we're not going to reach out for a rescue. Now, I'm not saying beat them up and be mean, but we've got to understand we are accountable to God. That's part of the problem with our society right now. There's an awful lot of people who said, Lord, save me and help me to live a good life. But they're no more saved than your dog because they never got lost. What they thought was, well, I'm just going to add him to my life. Very well-known evangelist. Very well known. I heard him give an invitation one time. And basically he said, Lord, I know you died for me. Help me to I know you died for me. Help me to live for you. That was basically the sinner's prayer. Now, if you don't know a whole lot of other stuff between there, that's not going to get you there. I'm sinner, and the wages of sin is death. Separation from God for eternity. For God so loved the world, he gave his Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We've got to know. It's not just a hope so, it's not just a nice thing. We've got to know the gospel. So we got discernment. We have a job to do. We need to preach the gospel and the whole thing, that we started out sinners. And we're because of sin, we deserve death. Letter D. Go to those, here it is, that have ears to hear. I'm not a Calvinist. The ears are not given to them by God, though the original ones were. But the ears to hear is like your dog, that their ears go, and ears go up, and then you hear the door knock. Because they heard them come close the door before you got there. They're ready to hear. There are some people, and it blesses my heart, some more than others, but some people are saying, I want to hear truth. And I want to hear it, and I'm going to go find it. It's their choice. I don't think any man has an excuse. I think God speaks to every single heart. And those who knew who he was, they refused to give him the glory of who he is. So he says, you go into a town, there's some folks who don't want to hear it. So they're going to be those that refuse to accept the gospel because they refuse to accept the fact of their own sin and repent and come to the Savior. I'm fine. If God's so mean that he's sending me to hell, I don't need to worship him anyway. Well, that's big talk. I remember some guys in school used to talk like that about the principal. Well, they found out talk is big when he's not around. But they change their tune when he walks into the room. And many of us are going to change their tune when they realize it, but then it's going to be too late. There are millions of people that have need to hear the gospel. And if we have given ample opportunity and have presented clearly and systematically and they still refuse the truth and move on. There's some folks who will just still refuse it. Someone needs to hear. So if they don't want to hear it, go to another town. You know, I've heard people say, well, you knock on doors and you go to nine doors and nobody wants to hear it. But there's a door down here somewhere saying, I wish I knew what this is all about. Somewhere there's somebody who's got ears to hear. There are many that go the broad way, but that's to destruction. Stray is the way and narrow is the gate that leads to life, and few there be that find it. You know why? Because most of them aren't looking. And when you tell them where the gate is, they say, well, I want to walk down that little muddy path. Well, that's not very pretty. I mean, there's blood dripping all the way down that path. That's a gross religion. I don't want to have anything to do with that. Well, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. No remission of sin, you're not going to see heaven. Now, I wouldn't say it that plainly and sarcastically, but I mean, that's the facts. We had a little issue in Vacation Bible School. We always do the first couple days. We have a couple kids who come in on the bus, and they just came for to see what they can do. This hurts me. But there's a few kids we had to say they couldn't come back. I mean, they were going to leave the room. I mean, you actually had to physically restrain them from leaving the door of the building. Well, we've got 150 kids over here. And the fact is, there were the vast majority of those kids wanted to hear the truth, but they couldn't because of some detractors. But don't you love them? Oh, we tell them, we'll try this again. Come on back on the bus in 2 weeks or whatever it is. You know, come on back. We want you back. But the fact is, that one person can be used of the devil to distract the entire class. To the whole bunch of them don't hear the gospel. So, well, isn't that cold? I'll tell you what's cold. Babysitting this little boy who won't listen while the rest of them who had ears to hear never get the chance to hear. And that's hard. But what did Jesus say? You go into a town, they want to hear. He says, listen, you're on your own. Just so you know, the kingdom of God's nigh. He's still coming. He's still coming. It's a warning.
And then he said, it's going to be better for Sodom and Gomorrah, who never heard the gospel brought to them in the power of God, than you all who heard the gospel from the power of God and refused it. Refused it. We are called to go and labor. We cannot stay and go at the same time. To not go is disobedience. When I say to go, that doesn't always mean everybody has to knock on doors. On the other hand, it does mean we need to get up and be part of the labor or the harvest. Do what we can do. Labor is work. And work can be hard. Jesus went to the cross. And he says, your cross may be the help at Lighthouse Baptist Church. Work the kitchen for Vacation Bible School. Be an aide in a class that just simply sits there and encourages the kids, listen to verses. Hold babies and rock them so that young mothers can come in here and hear the Word of God and grow. Boy, there's a sacrifice. I mean, we have some folks who are willing just to do diapers and just hand it to another person, just trade hand, and you just get to sit there and rock and hold babies. You just have someone to hold a baby. I mean, why am I suffering for Jesus, carrying my cross? We may get opposed, but that doesn't negate our calling. And the fact is, you come across some folks who just do not want to hear it. Move on. There's somebody who needs to hear it. Just let them know. We are going to talk to God eventually. And so, if you want to kind of know the other part, the good part of their story, I'd be glad to tell you anytime. Listen, I've had people who have pushed it aside. I can think of somebody right now, who in the last month came to know Christ that I have known for years. And I've talked to them multiple times. And they said, well, I don't know. They pushed it aside. And then something occurred in their life. And all of a sudden, God brought them to the point they had ears to hear. And I had a chance to talk to this person. And I said, I know we talked about this before, but let me ask you again. If God would take you just like you are, forgive you, and give you a home in heaven, would you let him do it? That's what the person said. Do you think he'd have me? Would I be able to come to your church? That's what that person said. Would I be able to come to your church? Yeah. Just a bunch of sinners in there. Saved by grace, but just a bunch of sinners in there. Yeah. Okay. And so I sat down and gave him the gospel. Went from as if he knew nothing, but he'd heard it before. But when you have ears to hear, you catch a lot of things you didn't catch the first time. So we walked him all the way through it. That old hard heart broke. When it broke, water ran out. And he sat, he laid there, actually in a bed, health issue, crying and receiving Christ. And when I got done, I said, now, do you mean that? He shook my hand and said, you sure know I do. I meant that. It's amazing what God can do. But the fact is, don't let devil get you focused on one person. I'm not saying don't go back to the person. Go back to the person. But some people say, well, I'm not going to move until I get this person done. No. Someone tried to talk me out of going to college to be a pastor because my own father wasn't saved yet. But I'd give him the gospel. He knew it, and at that point had refused it. Well, you can't leave until you get your father saved. No. If I love Father more than him, I'm not fit to be his disciple. But wait a minute. I followed him, and he proved himself and his power in my life in many ways, including providing our needs. And my daddy watched that. Till when he was sitting in the hospital with his kidneys not working, wondering if he'd ever get out of the hospital, saying, what do I need to do if I never get out of here? Went through the gospel with him. He held my hand, he prayed, and he received Christ, and he's crying, and I'm crying. My dad doesn't cry. He cried that day. He said, we got settled today, didn't we? I said, yeah, we did. I remember the day he died. He wanted me to bring that all back. I said, no, you know, I said, we're talking, yeah, so we talked about that. Yep, all right, we got this thing. Okay, let's move on. Let's do our goodbyes. Let's go to heaven. As it was waiting for the train to leave. So, give them the gospel. Don't have ears to hear. Move on. Give them the gospel to somebody else. Hey, you pass that town again, that person again, get a chance to do it, give it to them. Lovingly. But if they don't have ears to hear, you're clever presentation is not going to save them until their heart is open by way of, and the ears have brought it in and said, come in, bring it into my heart, bring it in, bring it in. You just keep doing right. Let God show himself powerful in you. The time comes. Let's pray. I know it's late. Father, thank you for these dear folks, and thank you for the opportunity that you give us and the calling you give us to be ambassadors, to have the ministry of reconciliation. What an honor and a privilege every single one of us have to be able to give the truth of the gospel, to actually bring them to you and have you hand them eternal life, paid for on the cross thousands of years ago. But it's all done. May we rise up in arms of faith and just step out on faith and do what you've called us to do. We thank you for it. Yes. In Christ's name.